What's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm in a decent mood today because the Cardinals actually won last night.
I brought out the Cardinals hat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yep. Thanks. Thanks for noticing.
My bad.
Yeah. I noticed your coffee.
Yeah. I had baby duty about 5 a.m. this morning.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
She didn't go back to sleep. So I've been up since then.
Okay.
And just a little extra fuel and almost the throwback because this is Joey Wagner and I's favorite spot. So you're welcome for the shameless plug, Casey's Coffee. It stays hot even as you cross state borders.
Boom.
You don't usually drink it for about an hour in the drive, but...
What a perfect commercial you just did.
I know, right?
Casey's Coffee. It stays hot even across the border. Was that what you said?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great commercial for, like, a truck driver.
Good point.
Like, you know, you're...
Now, in the fine print, it's like you can't drink it for the state you're in because it's too hot, but...
That's the real quick voice at the bottom.
Yeah, right. But you're not responsible for tongue loss.
Not responsible for tongue loss. That'd be a bad loss, losing your tongue.
It would be, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've never ranked body parts to lose, you know, but I would assume
probably one you don't think about.
No.
Yeah, the legs would be the arm.
I spent all night coughing, so that was That was a fun night. You know that where you wake up and you're sweating, then you wake up and you're cold, and then you wake up and you're coughing, and you can't get comfortable. I'm just like, great.
That's been going around, man. I was sick late last week. My son has been sick.
Yeah.
And I know we had Jeremy Warner on yesterday. He told me that his kids have been sick. Like, it's...
Yeah. I've just always done such a good job of avoiding it.
I know.
Most of my life.
You must not be drinking Bud Light recently.
I think that's part of the problem. I think that is exactly part of the problem.
You were steadfast on it. Speaking of ringing endorsements and commercials that need to happen.
Exactly.
Bud Light. Drink a healthy diet. You will literally stay healthy and never be sick.
Get me while I'm fat, Bud Light. Yeah, no, I agree. Kyle, you got anything you want to endorse today? I did buy some Red Hots. Is that a candy you've ever eaten?
I have eaten them. I'm not a usual dabbler in that,
yeah,
no.
So instead of like... You know, like cough drops and stuff, things like that. I just get Red Hots. It's good. It kind of like avoids my coughing, but I'm not going to throw a bunch of those in at 2 a.m., obviously. So that is the worst when you cough. Is there a certain rhythm to your cough? In other words, like if you've got a night where you're just coughing nonstop, is there a rhythm to it? So mine is the... it's the one... You. 2, 3, and then I'm good for a while, lay there for a minute, and then, I feel the tickling. Here it comes. 1, 2, 3, and I'm like, enough of this. Yeah, I've got a rhythm.
I haven't
in my
thought
cough.
About that.
Yeah, I think about things that a lot of people don't. I think that makes me kind of who I am, I guess, is woo, woo. Muhammad, listener, if you keep booze in your system, you'll stay healthy. Well, then that is a damn lie. I'm proof of that. No, I'm kidding. I'm with him or her. You got to keep the intake up and you stay healthier. It kills anything in your body. That's exactly what I think. Of course, you know what doesn't help is going out to all these baseball games where it's 30-mile-an-hour wind and, you know, a little bit cold, but whatever. We move on as Pipe stares at his phone because it's nonstop for this guy.
It's insane.
It is nonstop. It is incredible. We were going to start with Luke Goody. You mentioned to us, am I supposed to say this?
Yeah, no, it's been reported.
Okay, that he's visiting Bloomington, Indiana Thursday and Friday, both days. Like, not just one day, he's going to make a trip of it. And obviously, this is a kid that's from that state.
His parents went there.
Oh, that's right.
His uncle, Trent Green, played quarterback there. His brother currently goes there.
Okay. And they didn't offer him, right?
No, they didn't really recruit him at all.
Okay. So now, you know, you fast forward 4 years, and they need shooters worse than anything in the world. They've got a lot of everything else. But shooting from the outside is not something they've had for a long time. We've kind of made jokes about that as we've gone along, but Luke Goody would certainly fit in well with Indiana, and I would have to think, and I know that he bleeds orange and blue now, and I truly believe that. I mean, this is a kid that graduated in 3 years with a business degree in Geese Business School. I mean, that is impressive. You know, the one day he's like, yeah, I got finance I'm doing today, you know, on the way home from Minnesota or something. I'm just like, that's unreal. But he's obviously a smart kid. I would have to assume that though he is an Illini for life, I think he'd tell you that. Mm-hmm. He's got his degree from here. And I think that makes a big difference when you get a degree from a college. Then I think that kind of sets in stone that that is my college, you know, like SIU for me. But I would have to imagine as a young lad, Luke Goody grew up at times wondering what it would feel like to put on an Indiana Hoosier uniform. And now he's on the cusp of being possibly able to do that. It would be hard for me, despite my disdain for Indiana. They are the worst to me. There's not a team out there, even Iowa, there's not a team out there I love to beat more than Indiana. It would be hard for me not to really be happy for Luke Goody. You said it yesterday. You're not going to root against him if he goes there.
No, of course not.
It would be hard for me to not really understand how exciting that is for that young man. If it happens that he ends up going there.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for him, but I think that knowing out of high school that Indiana didn't really mess around with him, that Purdue, I think, showed some interest but didn't ultimately offer, and the fact that the home state schools didn't truly make a push to get him, he liked the idea of a Big Ten school in a neighboring state where a lot of years, not very many have crossed those borders. No. Now, and if you're stacking them up and counting them, it's more that have gone from Illinois to Indiana. Of course, A.J. Guyton, one of those. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Thomas, one of those. But even then, I just haven't been a lot of them. Mm-mm. But he was excited about that and excited to – I don't know if he's come out and said it, but like give some payback that way.
Yeah.
And show them that they were wrong and to go out and beat them. And then for Illinois to definitely be higher in the pecking order than Big Ten than Indiana and have that probably bother some of his family members. Now, I'm not have any doubt that his parents made a smooth transition sure. to wearing the orange and blue and rooting on their son, whatever team he's going to play for. But yeah, I would imagine that that was a dream of his at one time. I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying that he's for sure going to Indiana.
Right.
I think it's certainly something where you have probably that pull a little bit, the family ties, just the thought of maybe accomplishing a dream that he at one time had. Also, like his best skill is Indiana's biggest need.
You just said
so
it
perfectly. That's something that you have to think about. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get 25 minutes a game because they have a lot of other pieces. They have, by especially bringing in Omar Ballo at the five, the transfer from Arizona, play him at the five, Malik Renew at the four. Renew had a great year last year. And
he really did.
Expect him to only get better. Mackenzie Mbako, the five-star, is returning for his sophomore year. Play him at the three. Trey Galloway's returning. Play him at the two.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke would be a backup, would be a bench player for them. Now, that's not to say he couldn't come in and play 20 minutes off the bench, and
yeah.
You just don't know what that would look like for certain. I think if he's looking for somewhere to start, it's not Indiana.
I agree.
It's maybe more so a Notre Dame team that was abysmal last year, and that's a home state school that wants him, and that could be a situation like playing in the Shrewsbury offense. And Luke, you don't even have to probably sit down and show him the tape. He watched it firsthand when Andrew Funk was burying three after three against Illinois.
Why'd you bring that name?
Yeah, Seth Lundy. Yeah. So Luke has options for sure. It is going to be interesting kind of what he values the most, because part of him leaving here, as far as I understand it, is he definitely wanted more of a solidified role. As he saw, they brought in Trey White, and they're going after Benham Rickhouse really hard from Evansville, is going to be here this week. They want to take a big swing at the wing and get a stud there, and Ty Rogers is still here. So those type of things were in competition with him, and I think Luke, as far as I understand it, and look, he was non-committal with us when we had him here in the studio asking about that player meeting he was going to have with Coach Underwood. He didn't say one way or the other about which way he was leaning, where in the past he was just like, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely put a question in my mind. But as far as just, I think he was evaluating and watching what Illinois' plans were, who they were going after, who they were bringing in, what that would mean for him. And ultimately, I think he wants a bigger role and he can go and seek that. So I think some listeners, before I throw it back to you, have accurately pointed out, and people have said this on our website as well, Indiana wouldn't necessarily maybe guarantee him for sure, like just a bunch more minutes than he'd get at Illinois, maybe it'd work out that way, that it would definitely be an advantage, because if they get Humrickhouse, I think that Luke would, that's one that's in direct competition with Luke. That's a shooter, where at Indiana, there is no knockdown shooter, where if Indiana's trying to say, okay, Botlow's attracting a lot of attention in the paint, Renew's a great down low player that can make some things happen at the rim. If we surround those guys with shooting, like Luke Goody's one of those that they really don't have otherwise.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. And I know Steve and Scott both basically said, you know, Steve said he'll have the same role here, as he would with Illinois. And Scott, Luke's not starting in Indiana either, blah, blah, blah. And I don't mean blah, 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 like he's what he's saying is bad. But I think Luke understands that, right? I just mentioned how smart the kid is, graduating in 3 years from a business school. I think he understands that role. And it does bring up an interesting thing that I was kind of thinking about as you were talking. Not that I wasn't listening to you, Derek. But I was sitting there thinking how many different ways people use the portal, right? And we've talked before about maybe the thing to do now, if you're kind of that fringe 3-star, 4-star guy, maybe the thing to do is start out at a lower level, if you will, and then shine for a couple of seasons, be your all-conference kid, and I always use the Valley as an example, and then you're going to have all these high major programs wanting your service and maybe paying you quite a bit of money to do it. And that's one role, right? Then there's other roles where maybe guys just look at it and say, I want to win, like at a high level. I think Marcus Damask is a perfect example of that, to where he never had made the tournament at SIU, even though he had done pretty much everything else, right? He's going to be a Hall of Famer at SIU, 1,600 points. He was all conference probably 3 times. He was freshman of the year in the Valley. He had done everything he could do at that school, but he had never had a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. So Marcus's thought process, I would assume part of it was, I want to go somewhere where I know I've got a shot, of being in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, he turned out to play a major role in getting Illinois to where they did and as far as they advanced. So that worked out swimmingly and is probably as well as you'll ever see a portal work out, to be honest with you, except for guys maybe that go and win a national title. But now Luke is probably looking at this like, okay, I kind of know where I am as a player, right? I mean, I mentioned to you, I was joking with you and Stevie and Kyle, that I think he ought to go to SLU, where Schroeder is. The kid, is it Schroeder? I feel like I'm saying it wrong. Schertz. I'm sorry, I'm adding like ERs to it. Where he was at Indiana State, and that offense was wonderful. It was fun to watch. They were really exciting to watch. And it really helps you blossom as a shooter. I mean, you've got a nice, fun role in that kind of an offense where you're getting some open looks. And I thought maybe that would be the perfect spot for him, kind of that level. I'm not saying SLU can't be good, you know, but that A-10 kind of level, to where Luke could go down and maybe be a starter, maybe play heavier minutes. But again, I just go back to, I think Luke understands that. You know, he understands what his role is. I think to a man, Luke Goody would tell you, I'm not going to go to Indiana and be a starter. I'm just not. But if I can play the same role I did at Illinois, and I can play for a home state school that maybe I grew up, and we don't know this, and as you mentioned eloquently, I'm not speaking for Luke, but I grew up in Illinois. I always wanted to play for the Illini. I assume probably Luke grew up in Indiana and always wanted to play for the Hoosiers. Maybe he wanted to play for the Boilers. Maybe he wanted to play for the Irish. I don't know. But I think he understands all that. So when people say that, and, you know, I know we've had a sector of fans, the sector of Illini fans, that'll tell you right now, well, I knew he was gone when he walked through senior night. Well, you know, you're probably going to be proven correct on that, except we don't know that for sure. And I think we talk to Luke as much as anybody when it comes to being able to look him in the eye and visit with him, right? Mm-hmm. And he's always been just drop-dead honest with us since the minute he came into this studio. I think he honestly didn't know if he was going to be back at Illinois. So I don't know that I would agree with the statement of, well, I knew when he went through senior night that he was out of here. I don't know if that would have been the case. I think there was an avenue of him coming back to Illinois. I don't think there's any doubt. So it's just interesting to me the different ways you can use the portal. I think Luke understands his role. And maybe, you know, 4 years into it, he understands, look, here's what I am. You know, I'm a guy that can get you three threes a game. I can get you 20 minutes. I can get you a few hustle rebounds.
Yep.
I can battle on the defensive end enough to keep, you know, to where I'm not an embarrassment on the court. And I think he understands that. I think Indiana would understand that, or Notre Dame would understand that when they're recruiting him. So it's just interesting, all the different avenues you can use the portal for. And I think for Luke, he's just going to look at, all right, what's the best spot for me, like most kids would, to see how I can have a great final season. Maybe not All-American, maybe not all Big Ten, but I can be a really good player to a team that can establish a lot of wins and have a good season. And for Indiana, that would be getting them back to where we expect Indiana basketball.
Right. To build off of something you mentioned, and definitely so with Marcus about wanting to win, like, I think that was Luke out of high school. And I still think that's a big part of who he is. I mean, he's a competitor. He's a competitive dude that wants to be a part of winning. I don't think that – now, he's got 1 year of eligibility, so if he wanted to go to Notre Dame and maybe be guaranteed a starting spot or just have a clear path to, maybe that's a pretty decent chance that he would earn that and get more shots. Again, playing a – Shirt's definitely a fun offense that slew. Shrewsbury's offense looked pretty fun at Penn State when they had Jalen Pickett. Not saying they're going to have another one of those, but to have those shooters that they had with Funk, sorry to mention him again, and also Seth Lundy. But, yeah, I think that him coming to Illinois, and he said it, he had a great line, like the year that he committed and signed, the year that he signed, Illinois was a one seed. And then the first year he was here, they won the Big Ten. And then they went to the tournament the year after that where he returned. He missed a lot of that season, wanted to do whatever he could to help them go as far as they ultimately could. It was a flawed team, a team that never fully clicked. Maybe their season's better. I'm not saying that there's going to be a huge needle mover, but they could have used shooting that year. That was a big weakness of them that season for sure. And then – or just someone who was a little more steady and just kind of – someone that Brad trusted and some of those things too. And then last year, part of the Elite Eight and made some big shots.
I agree.
Down the stretch. And I don't think he goes through senior night like he did if he wasn't at least thinking it could be his last time at State Farm Center.
That's
but
fair.
I don't think it was, I'm for sure out. I think that's my read on it. That's kind of my opinion, just kind of based on how I feel and what he said to us as well. So
I know a 651 also, excuse me, said Indiana has a very highly ranked MBA program. I mean, that is a great business school as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we sometimes, probably most of the time, I don't think about stuff like that. Maybe if Luke was sitting there saying, okay, I want either Notre Dame or Indiana, but this is going to be the thing that pushes it over the top. I want to get my master's degree at Indiana in that program. I mean, so, you know, that could easily be the case for a kid that has excelled so well in the classroom thus far.
For sure. Yeah. And that's leading into another text to 217. I should mention Northwestern's also thought to be in the mix as well. I've heard that one. And this 217 says Luke's best choice is Northwestern, Big Ten school, more minutes, a top three grad business school in the nation, the ability to parlay it to a high paying Chicago job.
Yep.
That's fair. That's all very fair as well. I think, too, as I look at it on the through the stats and whatnot, he's going to be appealing to people. Like, I think that while they'll certainly take into account that he's pretty one-dimensional offensively, he's not going to take it off the dribble, he's not going to go to the rim, he's going to be a catch-and-shoot guy who you're going to have to run some action to draw a defense or run him off a screen and then get him the ball. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just what his skill is, and there are some defensive shortcomings. He's not the best athlete, and he was exploited at times, but shot 39% from three.
And the moment was never too big for him.
That too.
As you said yesterday, he proved that as a freshman.
Yeah, right.
Coming in against
that
Houston.
Michigan State game too.
Year, that's right.
I think he ended up, I don't know if he started that game or he played a lot of minutes. Illinois had some injuries and stepped up in that one, but definitely against Houston. And I was looking at Synergy. Lon knows this, but
if you look at
open catch and shoot numbers, and if you think about some of the attention that Renew might draw or Malo might draw, he was 56 or 57% there in between on open catch and shoots.
Wow.
98th percentile in the country. So far as you give him a clean look, he's as good as there is out there as far as a shooter in terms of his efficiency. So that's going to be something that will command interest, and it sounds like he should get a decent a decent chunk of change. And I don't think that that, I mean, I don't think Luke's hurting for money. I don't think it's about money either. I don't think that's the primary driver for him, wherever he's going to end up. But I do think that he could potentially get more than what he would have gotten here. And I think more important to him is the role and what that looks like versus some of the competition that was put in front of him at Illinois and just going to probably continue to be in the fold if Illinois gets who they want.
I mean, let's be honest. More important to him is good hunting ground and and good spots to go throw a pole in. Let's be honest.
That's a good call.
I know he had a good thing going with a buddy of mine, James, down in Lake Shelbyville and such in that area. I know he'd go down and fish with those guys quite a bit, and I know there were a lot of Illinois fans around here probably had him out at his pond.
Wonder if he's researching radio stations. Be like, you know... That was one of my favorite NIL agreements and deals. I got to get on with a show that I like and respect.
I feel like we should reach out to the show and say, listen, if you want a home run hit every week, you better get Luke Goody. Yeah. Don't necessarily try to get the stud of Indiana. Go with Luke Goody, and you're going to love every bit of content you're going
to
get.
I agree. We need to get him on one more time, by the way.
That would be fun.
Even if he's going to Indiana, I want him on.
I agree.
Or maybe even especially if he's going to Indiana, I want him on.
Well, he could answer the question. Scott said, why do you think he left? You think there's a simple reason? Or do you think it's just he thinks he can fit in a better role somewhere else?
I think if Illinois guaranteed him, of course, if they said you're our starting wing next year, that he would be here. If they said that he was, you know, top seven, top eight in the rotation, what weren't going out and getting some guys at his position. Not saying that Illinois is making the wrong move there.
Right.
I mean, that will be determined throughout the season. What does Trey White ultimately bring? If you get Ben Hamrickhouse, how does he translate from Evansville? Is he another dynamite addition from the Missouri Valley? I think Hamrickhouse has more to him offensively. Like, he's also a really good shooter, but he can do more off the dribble, and he's got some back down game.
He's long.
And 6'9", too. So, really good player, but there are different levels. Some guys, just because we saw Damask and Lance Jones and Rink Mask all click, doesn't mean every guy from the Valley is going to come up and do that, or every guy from a mid-major who put up good numbers is going to come up and do that. So, Luke's shooting efficiency to do it in the Big Ten, I think, means a lot. And we'll see how that ultimately plays out. But I think it was the role and just kind of reading the signs of who they wanted to go get.
Yes.
And I don't think Illinois pushed him out. I know that for a fact, honestly. They weren't telling him to leave, but I don't think they also were making it going out of their way to say, like, we have to do whatever it takes to make sure Luke Goody is satisfied. And that's just the reality of college basketball for a lot of players, not just Luke. Amen. Obviously, Illinois is trying to get the best team they can, and in doing that, they've gone out and been in the mix for a bunch of talent.
Orlando Antigua, Brad Underwood, both spoke to you guys, the media, today. I guess Kyle and I are part of the media as well. We're going to hear from them next hour. Aaron Lemming is coming up to talk some Bears and the NFL draft. That thing is getting perilously close.
Crazy.
I mean, it's like Thursday. Here we go, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let's go! I cannot wait for this. So we're going to talk to Aaron Lemming next. Real quick, Luke Goody would have 1 year, right? It would have his grad year. The kid from Evansville, I haven't quite learned the name yet.
I'm Rickhouse.
1 year?
1 year, yeah.
Trey White, 3?
2.
2. Booth, 3.
Booth, 3. Boswell, 2. Jake Davis, 3.
3. Okay. That's where we're at right now. Okay. Just in terms of how many more years I can play. So, all right. I'm ready to talk about your Bears.
Let's do it.
I told you and Jeremy yesterday, I mean this, I'm not as excited about what the Cardinals are going to do, but I'm excited to see what the Bears do with 1-9. And I firmly believe they should stay put with both.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to at 1, obviously.
Well, yeah, for sure.
It's going to be Caleb Williams.
I didn't know if maybe they'd try to use 9 and something else to get up further, or do they use 9 as a dangling piece to drop back and add a couple of more picks and see what they can get accomplished by adding a couple of more to that. But we'll see what Aaron Lemming has to say next. I'm excited about this.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Aaron Lemming, Bear Report, joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line next. Stick with us for that. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Hi, this is Donna Onstott with Gail Frerichs Trucking. I'm looking for Class A CDL drivers with 2 years' experience, less with military service. If you're looking for a team that cares about you, a positive work environment, and opportunities for personal growth, we're the company for you. We need drivers with high standards of customer service, focusing on cleanliness, courtesy, integrity, and honesty. GFT is hiring at $1,200 gross minimum a week, home every weekend, and some weeknights. Contact Tim O at gftlog.com or call 765-793-7131.
If you have something you'd rather do than mow the grass, whether you need a commercial or residential mower, go see Andy at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana for thousands off on your Excalibur Classic, Blackhawks, or Z2s. Call 217-328-0562.
It seems like the cost of everything is on the rise, but Erie Insurance can help make sure your auto insurance premium isn't one of them. Avoid rate increases with Erie Rate Lock. Even if you have a claim, your rates won't go up until you change your car, driver, or address.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Erie Rate Lock is not available in all states. Other conditions and limitations at erieinsurance.com. Go to erieinsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green will service and maintain your lawnscape with seeding, aeration, fertilizing, disease, and insect control. Over 32 years of satisfied customers reflect their commitment to Champaign-Urbana and the Mattoon-Charleston area. Call Spring Green at 217-359-2111 or online at spring-green.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jet's Pizza. Detroit-style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit-style proof? Order Jet's famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now, get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The average American throws away almost 5 pounds of trash per day, half which ends up in a landfill. At Two Men and a Junk Truck, when we pick up your unwanted furniture, appliances, trash, and office equipment, we make it a priority to divert those items from your local landfill. Two Men and a Junk Truck, looking for partners that share our vision of environmental responsibility. If you and your organization can reuse, upcycle, recycle some of these items, we would love to work with you. Contact us at twomenandajunktruck.com. We want to make room for what matters most.
Back on the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk some NFL draft. My Chicago Bears are on the clock. We'll be officially here in about 48 hours. Then we'll see what Lon's Arizona Cardinals do. Let's Will they end up with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Oh. Those are dreams that Lon has been dreaming when he's not lying awake wondering about his cough pattern.
Right, right.
But anywho, that's not either here nor there. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line, get our guy on, Aaron Lemming with the Bear Report. Aaron, what's up, man? Fun time of year. How you doing?
I'm glad the draft is finally here. It feels like this has been one of the longest waits for a draft in quite a while, man. So I'm glad it's finally almost here.
As far as, so I don't think there's going to be any suspense in terms of the number one pick. It is all signs have pointed to and have, especially ever since the Bears traded Justin Fields, Caleb Williams at one, quarterback from USC. Just want to confirm that with you as far as what you know. Like, that seems like it's a done deal, signed, sealed, and delivered, right?
See, I don't know, man. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's been signed, sealed, and delivered since the Bears locked in the number one pick.
Yeah.
And I know there was a big internal debate, and, you know, Bears Twitter went crazy, and everybody was at each other's throats. But the reality of it is Caleb Williams, even if you don't want to call him a generational prospect, I mean, he's one of those quarterbacks over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years where, I mean, he's going number one in any draft class. I mean, there's been multiple talent evaluators since the time he came out of Gonzaga High School that have been waiting for this moment for him to declare for the draft and go in the draft. I mean, this is about as big of a no-brainer as it could possibly be for the Bears. And that's not an indictment on Justin Fields. It just is what it is with the way everything kind of worked out with the contract. You know, him going into year four and having to make the fifth-year option choice. Like, let's just put it this way. I mean, the Bears made probably the best trade that they will make in franchise history without even really knowing it. I mean, obviously, you kind of thought they would come out on top to a certain extent. But what they were able to get, and the fact that they were able to get number one overall again, they basically got a redo on Justin Fields. They said, hey, we're going to give him a shot, and, you know, going into year three, we're going to see what we have, and then we'll kind of reassess from there because we'll have 2 first-round picks. And here you are. You still have those 2 first-round picks, but you don't have to trade up. You don't have to count on a team not wanting a quarterback. You're sitting there at number one overall, and you've locked in your quarterback, and now it's time to roll.
Aaron, not that a number one pick doesn't have pressure. How much pressure would be on Caleb Williams? You know, quarterback is always kind of that enigma, if you will, with the Bears. I know they've had a few guys through the years that have done okay, but they're always just kind of searching for that guy, right? And Caleb Williams could be that guy. We could be on the precipice of having a guy that could rival the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and how they've done so well at that position. So how much pressure do you think will be put on Caleb Williams to kind of hopefully be that guy?
I mean, this is going to be an immense amount of pressure. I mean, you're talking about, not only are you talking about coming to a huge market, but you're talking about coming to a huge market where arguably their best quarterback in franchise history was Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler was a solid quarterback. That's it. Solid quarterback. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. They've never had a quarterback that has thrown for over 30 touchdowns in a season. I mean, there are certain benchmarks for a team that has been around since the inception of the NFL that they should have passed long ago, and they haven't. And, you know, you talk about Caleb Williams and the aura that he's going to bring. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's already, in a lot of ways, a superstar. I mean, you're talking about somebody who's made millions upon millions of dollars with NIL. You're talking about somebody who came in at Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley, transferred out after a year, goes to USC, you know, a little bit bigger of a market, obviously, in the Hollywood stuff. I mean, just how he's carried himself, how he's presented himself. I see those personally as positives. Again, you kind of have to take what I'm saying here with Caleb Williams with a grain of salt. I'm an Oklahoma fan. Like, I've loved this kid since they finally got him to commit coming out of Gonzaga. I mean, he's been one of those that even with Spencer Rattler there, when he was rumored to be a first-round pick or even a top-five pick going into 2021, I mean, it was always, when does Caleb Williams get to see the field? And he comes in and he looked the way that he did in his true freshman year. I mean, he's had the it factor, in my opinion, since the moment he stepped out on the field for Oklahoma. And I know, you know, things didn't go quite as planned last year, but it's like, you look at all of his losses at USC, and all of the losses that he had at USC is when his defense gave up 34 points or more. And it's one of those situations where people put so much stock in the success of a college quarterback, when in reality, that doesn't always translate. Tim Tebow was a winner in college. How'd he do in the NFL? You know, there's a lot of those different types of players. So I think because of who he is as a person, because of the aura that he has around him coming into the league, and because the Bears are who they are and they have the quarterback history that they have, there's an immense amount of pressure. But I think, and again, this is just my personal opinion, and there's probably some bias around this, I think he's built to handle it. I think that he's been, you know, he's been basically being trained for this since he was, you know, 12, 13 years old, since he was a hot shot five-star prospect coming out of Gonzaga, since he went to Oklahoma, where, you know, it may not be the biggest, you know, Norman's not the biggest area out there, but it's also a very, you know, well-respected college football program. Then to transfer to USC and go into LA, I think he's built for it. I mean, you listen to any of the interviews that he's done, he's a very confident person. He's very self-aware of what he needs to get better at. I think his focus is on all the right things, despite what a lot of people have kind of said about him throughout this draft process. Like, I think that he is the type of quarterback that a lot of Bears fans have wanted, but they're not used to seeing this type of player, this type of person, this type of personality come to Chicago. I mean, this is going to be a very different thing than Justin Fields. It's going to be a very different thing from, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, Jay Cutler, all those guys. Like, this is a very different type of player, but, you know, I think he's ready for the pressure, and I would be very surprised. And again, this is me going on record. I've said it multiple times. I would be absolutely shocked if he doesn't end up being a top 10 quarterback when it's all said and done. I mean, he's got everything that you would want. I mean, obviously you can't really measure the mental side of things, but from a physical standpoint, everything that you would want in a quarterback. He's not perfect, but I mean, he's a much better prospect than Justin Fields. And that's not just, you know, that's not just saying this after the fact. This isn't revisionist history. This is, you know, evaluation and really go back and look at it. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who would rate Justin Fields as a higher prospect over Caleb Williams.
Aaron, as long as your statement of he's very different than Mitchell Trubisky is a promise, I'm on board.
There is a Carolina quarterback out there, Derek.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Aaron, to break this down, so you're obviously very familiar with his game, and I'm sure you've even been studying him even more now that all signs are pointing to him landing in Chicago. But I want to do the both sides of the coin here. So let's start on the positive. What do you love the most about him? What makes him the number one prospect? What makes him a no-doubter for the Chicago Bears?
Well, I think really the biggest thing for him that really stands out as a college prospect is his overall mechanics. I mean, there's just a lot of the intangible stuff that you cannot teach. Like his pocket presence, his pocket awareness is next level, in my opinion. Obviously, the arm talent is you know, one of, if not the best in the class. But I think from a mechanical standpoint, it's something that he's obsessed about since, you know, the beginning of high school, where you don't usually see that. You know, you just talk about Drake May, right? Drake May is a guy that has a cannon for an arm. He's got all the athleticism in the world. He's got all the tools that you would want, but he's never really put it all together. And frankly, his lower body mechanics are an absolute disaster. And I think that's where a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, if the mechanics were better, if the delivery was more consistent, if you saw a more consistent product overall where you didn't have to have him propped up by better talent, you're probably talking about him as a surefire number two overall pick. And I think with Caleb Williams, you start adding in the athleticism, you start adding in all the physical tools, all the stuff that you can't teach that you just have. And then on top of that, you get a guy that is more refined with going through his progressions with, again, his lower body mechanics, his overall, like his release. I mean, you talk about the comparison between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in terms of overall release and in terms of overall internal clock. it's not even comparable. So I think that there's a lot of stuff when you look at the successful quarterbacks that have come out of college, that have come in the NFL. He has a lot of those traits that you want and more.
As far as the improvements, especially I think in year one, to be able to make an impact, the rest of the roster, of course, they put a very good situation around him, Aaron, getting Keenan Allen, obviously being able to reap the benefits of the Carolina trade and a second year of DJ Moore. And defense has come on late last year, and I'm assuming this offseason's only going to be able to help them. I know it's something they'll probably address in the draft as well. So what do you think will have to click for him in year one on an improvement standpoint, or maybe just to get to that ceiling, like you mentioned too, to be a top 10 quarterback?
Well, I think there are three things that really stood out to me. The one, the biggest thing is ball security. I mean, he's had way too many fumbles where he just, and a lot of it's just carelessness. It's not that he has small hands. It's not that, you know, there's an issue with snaps, whatever the case may be. It's when he's scrambling around back there. He has that insanely high time to throw. And a lot of the time it's because he's scrambling around back there trying to create a play as a passer, and he tends to get really loose with the ball. I think he ended up having, and it's weird because there's no actual official number. I think that I ended up charting, it was either 33 or 34 official fumbles in his college career, and that was over, I think, 31 starts. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that has to improve. So that's the number one thing. Two, the whole, you know, hero ball thing and playing out of structure. He has the ability to play in structure. I saw him do it at Oklahoma. You saw him do it a lot in 2022 at USC. Last year, things were obviously different. The supporting cast was not as good, so that needs to improve. And I think really the big thing there is you kind of talk about that athleticism, right? Like, he's not Justin Fields athletic. He's not Lamar Jackson athletic, but he is an athletic guy. I mean, he was a running back at one point. He was a linebacker, you know, before he decided to make the switch to quarterback. Like, he has the athleticism. He has the toughness. But there are certain times when he breaks the pocket, when a play breaks down, and instead of doing what Justin Fields would do and get out and scramble and get, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 yards, he stands back and he tries to create, and, you know, that usually leads to either sacks, fumbles, or whatever the case may be. So I think a lot of it is just him needing to play in structure more, and I think really the other thing is just sometimes you have to trust the check down, right? I mean, it's kind of one of those things that's for a lot of young quarterbacks, especially when they trust their physical abilities a little too much. He tends to want to make throws 30, 40 yards down the field. You got a running back wide open in the flat that can pick up 15 yards for you. Sometimes you just gotta hit the single, take the double, and pass over the home run. And I think that those are really the three things. They're all completely coachable. But if I had to narrow down one thing that I think could really, really hurt him, it's going to be the ball security. And, you know, not interception wise, just fumble wise. Like, he's a really good decision maker, but he's got to find a way to be more careful with the ball. But I think they all kind of, you know, all three of those kind of play hand in hand.
Aaron Lemming is our guest on the Tapman Towing phone line. Follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. So it's clear where they're going at one. Number nine is a lot of a different story in terms of options, potential to move up, potential to move down, potential to stay there and take a variety of different positions. I'll open the floor to you there. Just what do you think is most likely? And if they do stay there at nine, what would you like to see them do?
Well, I mean, they got a multitude of options, right? Here's what I will say, and I'm going to say this, and if I'm wrong, feel free to play it the next time that we talk, because this just tends to happen to me, as I'll go out on the record and say something, and then I'll be completely wrong. I don't think they're going to target an offensive tackle in the first round. I don't think the Bears are in a position right now to sit there and say, hey, we got Braxton Jones, maybe a little bit below average, maybe, you know, average, whatever the case may be. He's still got 2 years on a rookie deal. And he's ascending. Like, he's still a really young player. I don't think they're in a position to take a average player and upgrade from that when they have other holes on the roster. So I'm just going to throw out offensive tackle right out of the gate. And I'm going to focus basically on, you know, three different positions. One's going to be receiver. I think one of those top three guys, if you look historically speaking, one of those top three guys is going to be there. I think it's going to be Roma Dunze. I think he's going to be sitting there at nine. He would be my number one choice. I know they went out and they traded for Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's on a one-year deal and has already said multiple times, I want one last big payday. Are the Bears really going to give a guy that's going to be 33 years old next year a 2 year, let's just say a 2 year, $50 million deal like Mike Evans got, I can't imagine that's going to be the case, because they still need to probably give DJ Moore some extra money and kind of extend him. So I think that Rome Odunze makes a lot of sense, plus their depth at receiver outside of those two guys. I mean, Tyler Scott's your number three. You can't go into the season like that. But again, you look at the defense side of the ball, edge rusher is definitely in need. And something I feel that a lot of people disagree with, and I get it, I think defensive tackle is a considerable need for this team too. I mean, if you look at the Tampa 2, the type of defense that the Bears run, Matt Eberflus runs, it goes through the middle of the defensive line, and they need that penetrating free tech. And I like Jerron Dexter. I think he's kind of one of those versatile guys. You can play him at nose, you know, in the one tech. You can play him at three tech. You can even play him on the edge a little bit. I mean, he wasn't bad on the edge. But this defense really needs three good defensive tackles. You need your nose tackle, which you have in Andrew Billings. You got your versatile guy, like I talked about, Jerron Dexter. I think Byron Murphy out of Texas makes a ton of sense. He was only a one-year starter, doesn't have a ton of production. I think people will look at his numbers, or at least the surface numbers, and say, I don't understand this. He had the highest pressure rate out of any college interior defensive lineman last year. I think he's just scratching the surface. He's not even 22 yet. I think he makes a ton of sense. So if it's not receiver, assuming that Murphy's still on the board at 9, I would absolutely make the move at 9. I could see them trading down. It's hard for me to see that. It really, I think what it would come down to for a trade down is it's either going to be for one of those offensive tackles, or more than likely, if they're sitting there at 9 and they don't love Rome Odunze and they say, hey, we would rather get a third-round pick or an extra second-round pick and still take one of these defensive guys, I think that's a scenario where it can make some sense. I actually have them projected to move down in my mock, and I don't know. It's funny because I don't actually think they're going to do that, but for some odd reason, it just feels right. So we'll see. I think when it's all said and done, listening to Ryan Poles talk today, he talked about, you know, they really want another quote-unquote blue player. And I think Rome Odunze fits that bill. Joe Alt, if he falls, which I don't think he's going to, could fit that bill. And maybe that's where offensive tackle comes in. But, I mean, the rest of these guys, maybe Brock Bowers, but I don't know if you spend a top-10 pick on a tight end. I mean, the rest of these guys are going to be defensive players. I think the Bears are going to be in a really weird spot at 9. I don't think there's going to be that clear guy that one team is going to trade up for and give you enough value to want to move back and risk losing out on a Byron Murphy or a Jared Verse or whoever the case may be if you trade down, let's just say, 3-5 spots.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you, and this isn't necessarily only Bears specific, so I'm almost throwing a little bit of a bone to Lante, who's sitting there at 4 and wants Marvis Harrison Jr. Now, maybe the Cardinals will want to trade with the Bears and make that a swap. I don't think that this Cardinals fan wants to do that.
No.
But in your opinion, what's the degree of separation, do you think, at receiver between Harrison, Malik Nabers, and then Rome Odunze? How big is the gap there, in your opinion? And do you think there's any chance the Bears would want to spend the draft capital to get up and maybe go beyond Odunze to get Nabers or make a phone call to the Cardinals and what that would take for Harrison? But I guess bigger picture, what's the separation, in your opinion, between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Nabers and Rome Odunze?
Well, I think there is a decent separation between, at least for me, I have Marvin Harrison Jr. and I have Malik Nabers as kind of that 1A, 1B, right? And then I have Rome Odunze as a solid 3. And I think there's a few different ways of looking at this, right, where I think Rome Odunze over the last 3 years would probably be receiver 1 in any of these classes. He's a really good prospect. But you're talking about 3 different flavors of guys. You're talking about a guy in Marvin Harrison Jr. who is kind of that do-all everything. Like, he's big, he's long, he's got a big catch radius, he's good in jump ball situations, he's a touchdown machine, he's got really good long speed, he's a really good route runner. Like, he's really nuanced. Like, he is about as polished as you can possibly be. Frankly, he's probably one of the best receiving prospects to come out of the draft in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, it's hard to see how he's not going to be a top 5 receiver in the league within the first few years. Malik Nabers is one of those guys. He's a little smaller, a lot more explosive overall, kind of that, you know, that field breaker, that game breaker type of receiver. The biggest thing with him, though, is, I mean, he's got some off-the-field concerns that I'm kind of curious to see how teams are going to absorb and how they're going to, you know, kind of grade that out. I have him as my 1B just because I think that he can be that like Jamar Chase, DJ Moore type player, where he's really explosive when you get the ball in his hands. He's not going to be the biggest guy, but he kind of brings that speed element, and there's a lot of value in that. And then lastly, Rome Odunze. I know that he tested relatively well in terms of his 40 and his agility and all that stuff. I don't see an elite athlete, but I do see a guy that's big, that wins 50-50 balls at more of an 80% rate. He's a really good route runner, really good nuanced, really good nuance with his routes. He very clearly understands the game well. My only real concern with him is, again, kind of going back to that, he may have good straight line speed. He may be a good deep threat. I do have a little bit of concerns that he's going to have enough explosion coming out of his routes, enough fluidity within his routes to be able to consistently separate at the NFL level. I mean, he had a very high contested catch rate, which is not exactly a great sign. I know a lot of people look at that and they say, oh, well, he won, 75 to 80% of those. Well, that's great, but why is he not able to separate in college? So that would be my only concern there. That's why I have him as a solid three. Don't get me wrong. If the Bears take him at 9, great. I think he would fit them very well. It's kind of like that Mike Williams type of role, probably a higher ceiling than that. But I do think because of the speed, the separation, and just the overall, like I said, there are three different flavor of players. But I think if you're wanting that really safe, going to be an all-pro, going to be really dang good for 10 to 12 years, you go with Marvin Harrison Jr. if you want maybe a little bit more overall upside with knowing that you're probably not going to get quite as complete of a receiver. You go with Malik Nabers.
All right, Aaron, we kept you on long enough, but I do got to ask you, because we haven't gotten a chance to touch base with you since then, but I wanted to get maybe in a two-minute answer what you think of Keenan Allen. Like that, to me, when that came across, it was, I think we were out covering the NCAA tournament. I was like, oh, wow.
This is he 48?
I don't know, but... still catch 100 balls, 1,000 yards.
Does.
And
I know.
What'd you think of that one for the Bears and how he compliments DJ Moore? And just what do you make of that addition, especially with Caleb Williams coming in and probably being a very QB-friendly wide receiver?
Well, I'll keep this one short because if I ramble, I will ramble. So here's my thoughts on Keenan Allen. I thought it was a solid move when you look at it overall. I do kind of wonder, like, what's the long-term approach here? And that's especially with the Bears, where they're at within the rebuild, they're kind of exiting that. It kind of doesn't make a ton of sense to go with a one-year guy, but at the same time, I also get it. You're bringing in a rookie quarterback. Better be safe than sorry. The reality of it is you're probably not going to get the type of production from a fourth-round pick that you would get from Keenan Allen. I do think he fits well in this offense. He's a guy that gets open. Again, really good route runner. He's going to be a quarterback's best friend, especially a young quarterback's best friend. If I had to guess, especially if they go receiver relatively early and it's one of those outside guys, I think that he's going to be a primarily slot guy, which is going to be great. But it makes sense, but it's also one of those, at the same time, you're paying him basically $23 million for 1 year. And then after that, I don't know that I see him being around 2 or 3 years from now. I think this could be a one-year thing and just kind of hope that this is enough to kind of get Caleb Williams over that rookie hump.
Great stuff, Aaron. We appreciate
Incredible.
It. Get a little bit of sleep before Thursday night. It's a big one.
At Aaron Lemming NFL, by the way.
Yes.
1M, LEMING.
Of course.
I think if you're a Bears fan listening, you're going to want to be following Aaron on Twitter going up to that one.
There's no doubt about it. He always takes our calls. We are always
Love
appreciative
it.
Of it. Aaron, great stuff as always, man, and we'll talk to you down the road here.
Absolutely, man. Always enjoy coming on with you guys.
Great
Thanks,
stuff.
Buddy.
Aaron Lemming, Bear Report. Joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. He's got me excited. Admittedly, I haven't put a ton of – I know a lot of Bears fans out there. Like, how are you not just, like, reading every piece of
I know.
NFL draft content? I just haven't.
Well, you've been a little busy.
I've been a little busy.
Yeah.
I haven't been given the opportunity
to
focus on much else.
Yeah, I've probably read more than you, to be honest with you.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, that was great stuff with Aaron. I mean, this is an exciting draft for a Bears fan, so – you just sit there and go, are we going to get it right? I think you're going to get it right with Caleb Williams. And then I think you're okay at 9 to just let one of those three receivers fall. And I think if you get Rome Odunze, who I think led the led college football in touchdown catches, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong. I know you'd love to have Harrison. I know you'd love to have the quickness of Nabers. But you get any one of those, I think you're going to be absolutely fine.
Or trade number 9 to the Dolphins for Tyreek Hill.
Let's get the Dolphins in this a little bit.
Not in that way, though.
Okay, no.
Passing on that.
Fair enough.
I don't blame you on that one.
All right, we have to catch a break. hear from Orlando Antigua, who's back in town. Also, Brad Underwood, who met with the media today. We'll talk some more college hoops before we get out of here. This is The Drive.